91.5 FM. My name's Bob Arthurs, and we are just about to kick July to the curb here. We got just today and tomorrow, and then July will be part of the history books. And you know, every month, you know, I see these things about, well, what does the next month hold? You know, 2020 has been a real adventure thus far, but I tell you what never goes out of style, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Our phone number is 321-454-4263. If you have any prayer requests or praise reports, we always enjoy hearing the praise reports and being able to stand with you in prayer for your prayer request. You can also reach us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. You can go to MerrittAssembly.com. There's a link that you can contact us on Facebook or on email there as well. You can also like us on our Facebook page. We are still live streaming our services, and we are, you know, also social distancing at church and things like that. But we play those things by ear to see what the situation requires. If the county, you know, says, hey, you know, everybody wear a mask, then, you know, we're probably just going to live stream at that point in time. But you can check out our Facebook page and keep up to date on all of those things. So one of the things that I'm doing at church right now is I'm preaching faith. I'm preaching faith, and I'm going to continue to preach faith. There's a lot of things that good happens because of faith. There is nothing good that happens because of worry or fear or anxiety. And so that's what we are doing at Merritt Assembly of God. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and visit with us and be a part of what God is doing. We have our sanctuary set up in 27, 28 different family unit sections there. We can move chairs around as need be to make larger groups or to accommodate larger groups. Or, you know, if there's just a single person there, we can adjust as for that as well. So today we are going to go back to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and it says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And so we are now on to this concept of what is it that the Bible describes as belonging to God. And one of those things is in Hebrews chapter 10 here. We've been going through this chapter for several broadcasts now. But in verse number 26, it says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So we have been going through this. There are three different passages where it says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay." And the first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 35. "Vengeance is mine, and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is hand, and the things to come hasten upon them." We have also talked about it in Romans chapter 12, where the concept there in Romans is that whatever has been done to us by other people, it says in verse number 19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So in that context, it has to do with our not responding to cursing, with cursing, but with blessing, that we do not seek out our own vengeance, but we allow space for God to deal with people who have treated us badly. And so it's really an evangelistic technique. So one is you don't have to be bogged down with defending yourself. God's going to take care of that. The other is you adopt this mindset, because I'm going to work in the hearts of unbelievers as a means of transforming them and causing them to see the grace that is available to them as well. But here in verse number 30, it says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." In Hebrews chapter 10, the emphasis is not just God's going to vindicate those who've done bad things against us. God is not just going to avenge those who have mistreated us, and we have given room for God to operate so that they can be changed in their heart. Here, the emphasis is that God is going to avenge himself, the saints who have, as it says here in verse number 29, saints who have trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified to common things, and insulted the Spirit of grace. So here we see that the ultimate vengeance that is going to be dispensed, the judgment, the wrath of God that is going to be dispensed, is not just on how badly other people have treated us, but how have we treated the Son of God who shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. Okay? In my lifetime, there has been a tremendous emphasis that has removed any sort of personal responsibility to live a holy and righteous life. There are people who go out and do all sorts of stuff, and they say, "Oh, well, God loves me, he forgave me, he understands." And so your mouth can be filled with all sorts of bitterness and toxicity. Your lifestyle can differ with no discernible differences from the world, and everything is okay because you said a prayer. And I just want to tell you that you can say a prayer, but when God answers that prayer, there is going to be a change of status. There's also going to be a change of heart. There's going to be a change of mind. There's going to be a change of behavior, a change of direction, a change of attitude towards those around you, and a change of priorities. There's got to be transformation. And so here, the writer of Hebrews says, "For we know him who said this." One of the things that I like to remind people at church is that the Word of God is true. It is settled. It's settled truth. It's absolute truth. It's not going away. None of it is passing away. It is settled forever. And the God who promised to save you will save you. The God who promised to come again, he's going to come again. The God who promised to prepare a place that we're going to be with him forever, that promise is true. The promise to save, the promise to heal, the promise to provide, all of those promises are true. They are yea and amen in Christ. But there are other promises as well, and that is that not everyone is going to end up in the same place, because it has to do with how we respond to the invitation of Jesus. And the promises of judgment are just as faithful as the promises of blessing and reward in heaven. Everybody thinks that they're all going to heaven, but I tell you what, you let somebody do something to one of their loved ones, and all of a sudden they don't believe in universal salvation anymore. They want that person to rot in the flames of hell. You know, so we've got to see what the Word of God says, and Jesus makes no bones about it. Hell is a very real place. Hell, contrary to what some may proclaim, is not just a construct of motivation that people created to try and get people to fall in line with their theological teachings. In order to believe that, you have to believe that Jesus was a liar, or you have to believe that Jesus was crazy, or that he was a false teacher. You cannot believe that he is the inerrant, perfect Son of God. You can't believe that if you do not believe the things that he says. So recently a person commented, and they were responding to a post that I had made, and they basically were of this, and that was this: if you don't agree with me, then you're a fake Christian. That was what they said. I've got news for them. There are some things that I don't agree with them on. I can't find scripture and reference that says if I don't agree with them that I'm a fake Christian and I'm just the scum of the earth. I can't find that reference. What I can find is that if I repent of my sins, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I can find that for the wages of sin is death, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I can find those references. I can find the reference that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I can find that reference, but I don't see where if I don't agree with you or you don't agree with me, that I have the ability to declare that your faith in Christ is null and void. So what we're talking about here in this passage that sets us up in opposition to God is not day one of when a person gives their heart to Jesus, any more than expecting a one-day-old baby to be able to communicate, to be able to function, feed itself, clothe itself. You know, there is a growth process there. So I don't want you to think that we're talking about that there is no room for the Spirit of God to bring that person to maturity. What we're talking about is people who have grown in the faith, they understand the truth of God's word, they ignore the truth of God's word, reject the truth of God's word, and now find themselves willfully and intentionally sinning against God. 1 John says that no one who has been born again intentionally goes on sinning. It is incompatible with the Jesus living inside of us. And it says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay." So payday always comes. If you worked for a job and your payday came and the employer did not give you your paycheck, you would be most upset. You'd be calling the newspaper, the radio stations all over. You would say, "Wait a minute, I didn't get what I deserve." Now, when we come to Jesus, we realize that the wages of the sin that we lived against God all that length of time, the wages that we earned was death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So I will tell you this, the gift is greater than the paycheck. The gift is greater than the recompense. And so I want to encourage all of us today to realize what a wonderful privilege it is. The grace of God empowers us to live a holy and righteous life. Now, it goes on and it says this, "And again, the Lord will judge his people." The Lord will judge his people. So there are two judgments that take place that are talked about in the Bible. One is the great white throne judgment, where every person who has ever lived, who did not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. They are going to be brought before the throne of grace. Hell will be emptying out its corridors. The sea, everybody's going to behold the great white throne judgment, and there they're going to see God in all of his glory, and they will bow their knee, and they will, with their tongue, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the judgment that takes place at the great white throne judgment is this: what did you do with Jesus? What did you do with my son? It's that judgment that is being talked about here. This is not the judgment seat where believers are going to be judged. Those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there, by the way, after that great white throne judgment, the verdict is pronounced and they are removed from the presence of God forever. Okay? You don't want that. You don't want that. The other judgment is called the Bema Seat or the Judgment Seat of Christ. That is the judgment seat of believers, where everything that we have said, everything that we have done, everything that we have lived our life for, everything there is going to be tried by fire. And some of it is going to be consumed. It's there where, you know, we have to give an account for every idle word that we have spoken. By the way, that's one of the most terrifying verses in the scripture for me, is what have I spoken that wasn't of faith? What have I spoken which wasn't of love? What have I spoken that wasn't of truth? And so I'm constantly praying, God, help me with that. You know, only God can help us to control our tongue. And so if you don't have anything else to pray to God to forgive you, I'm sure that if you rehash just a few of the conversations you've had over the past few days or the past week or so, you will be reminded of some things that you said that weren't necessarily glorifying and edifying to God. At the Bema Seat of Christ, everything we've said, everything that we have done is going to be tried by fire. Some of it is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be consumed. It's going to be lost. It will be gone forever. Others is going to come forth shining like gold and metal and precious stones to the glory of God. Completely different style of judgment. So please understand that Jesus is not overlooking any of the good things that you have done. I want to balance out this judgment of wrath here to also remind you that he said that everything that you have said, everything that you have done, everything that you have left behind to follow him, that you are going to receive a reward in the next life, but also in this life to come. Okay? For some of you, that may be a blessing. So when you think about that, the things that we cling to are actually the devil's attempt to get believers to be deprived of the reward that God wants to bestow upon us in the future and in this life here to come. Living for Jesus is the best life that you could possibly live. It says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So my wife and I were watching a movie here a couple of weeks ago, and there was several different people recounting how something had taken place. And so the first person gave their account, and it was one presentation. And the second person gave the second account, and it was an entirely different version. And then it all comes down to the reality of the situation, and a person says, this is actually what happened. It wasn't what the first person said. It wasn't what the second person said. It was somewhere in between. There's a passage in Proverbs that says basically this: you go to court, you present your case, and the first person his account sounds true until the next person gets up and presents their side of the story. That's the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version. But there are a lot of people who rush to judgment here in modern times just because they hear something, and they hear something and they pronounce judgment right away. Okay? Guilty. You're guilty. We've heard the accusation and you're guilty, only to find out that the second person gets up and says, look, I've got photographic evidence. I wasn't even in the country at that particular point in time. That's just an illustration. It couldn't have been me. You are obviously mistaken. And then at that point in time, all of the people who convicted on just the accusation look pretty foolish. So you and I, we have got to be very, very measured and make sure that the judgments that we make, the decisions that we make, that they are informed decisions and that they're guided by the principles of God's word. The thing about, the thing about what it says here, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, is God never has an incorrect perception. His perception is always accurate. God never makes a partially informed judgment. He knows all things. He knows the things that you do, the thoughts that you think, and the reasons that are going on in your life. And so, you know, when we see in verse number 26, sin willfully, he knows you did this on purpose. It was an intentional thing that caused you to trample the Son of God underfoot. You counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and you insulted the Spirit of grace. So, coming before the throne room of heaven is a fearful thing, a very sobering thing, because in doing so, we are coming before the judge who knows everything that is going on. Verse number 31 in the Amplified Bible here says, it's a fearful, formidable, and terrible thing to incur the divine penalties and to be cast into the hands of the living God. Okay? So we cannot assume or presume that there's never going to be a day of reckoning. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So let's sum up what we've talked about. People in this life will treat you badly. Deuteronomy chapter 32 says you don't have to worry about that. God says, vengeance for the people that I walk in covenant with belongs to me. I'm going to take care of it. So you don't have to go around eye for eyeing and tooth for toothing and all of that sort of stuff. You just say, God, I know this. You're going to take care of it. I know you. I trust you. In Romans chapter 12, you don't have to go around cursing the people who curse you. You don't have to go around retaliation. In fact, God says, I want you to apply mercy. I want you to make room for me to work in this situation, because that person that you want removed out of your life forever may actually end up being a valuable person in the kingdom of God. Remember, Romans chapter 12 was written by Paul. Before that, his name was Saul. He was a persecutor of the church, a murderer of saints, and he literally terrified the people of God. They were horrified at the thought, God, he's come here. I can't go pray for him to be healed. And God said, he is a chosen vessel of mine. Now, if they do not respond to that, God says, I'm going to take care of it. We do like to propel the Word of God and project the Word of God into how other people are going to be treated. But today I want to conclude here in Hebrews chapter 10 by saying there's a day that this verse is going to have reality. It's going to have realistic application for me and for you. And I want to be able to stand and say, God says, how do you plead? Forgiven. Guilty, but forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I want to make it clear. There is supposed to be a difference in your life, pre-conversion versus post-conversion. By the way, a few weeks ago, I said something. Somebody contacted me and asked a question. I was talking about vertical relationships and horizontal relationships. And so let me do the last little bit here to try and clarify that. Our vertical relationship is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is above us, and we've got to make sure that that relationship is perfectly aligned, that the truth of God is flowing into our life, that our praise is flowing up to God. We got to make sure that vertical relationship is in good working order. If we do not, our horizontal relationships, our relationships with our spouse, with our kids, with our parents, our coworkers, our neighbors, it won't be long until those horizontal relationships are damaged, because it's absolutely mandatory for us to have a good working relationship with God in order for us to be able to love other people the way that they need to be loved. I tell you, a lot of people look at Hollywood and say, oh, I want to live like that. In fact, they make commercials, you know, about, hey, don't you want to come out here and live the way that we do? Well, I tell you what, every time I read headlines, I find out that there's not many people that are functioning in Hollywood that have a good working relationship with God, and their earthly relationships are not doing well. We need to make sure we do it right. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Restore righteousness to me.